Well, if I ask you what today is or what this weekend is all about, I think you'd be able to say, well, it's Memorial Weekend. And yet, normally, when we think of Memorial Weekend, what do we think of? Well, we may think of the Indianapolis 500. I'm not sure if the Indianapolis or the Charlotte 600 or what you think about on Memorial Weekend. But memorials are intended to bring to remembrance things to our minds that are of great, great importance. You and I need to have an appreciation that there's power that comes from memories about things that have happened, and they are directly related to our faithfulness, provided we don't forget about these things. And that's the critical part of all of this. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that there are memorials that exist, and as long as we remember them, they have a great, great part in our lives. I mean, it's the weekend that we remember those who were soldiers. And yet, in more likelihood, it may be remembered by young people as the time when they went to Universal, or the time when they went to Disney, or the time when they went to Grandma's house. And we've lost sight of what this weekend is all about, and that's not what this lesson is all about, but it's an illustration of the very thing we're going to try to make a spiritual application, and that is memories have to do with our faithfulness to God. Now, every nation and every society has memories, and there's a lot of power that is to be found in memories. If you think about the power of memories, think about how America has its memorials. Have you been to Washington? Have you seen, and I wrote this list down, the monuments there to Abraham Lincoln, to George Washington, to Thomas Jefferson? What about that memorial that's there for the Vietnam soldiers who were killed? If you've not seen that in your life, I'd encourage you to make sure that you go and see that particular thing. And the others that are there. What about the Tomb of the unknown soldier that's buried there? It's a constant reminder. All the ceremonies that are around that are designed to help us recognize that memorials have power as long as we remember of them. Judaism had it. Judaism had religious memorials, did it not? Think about the Passover and how the Passover was designed every year at the beginning of the year for them to remember the time when the Lord passed over the firstborn down in the land of Egypt and spared their lives. And there was a ceremony that was related to that called the Passover Feast. And it had built within it a remembrance, a memorial time to help them spiritually. The same thing about the Sabbath day. There's the religious aspect of the Sabbath day, the day on which they rested. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15 says, "And this is the day you ought to remember that you were a slave down in the land of Egypt and you could not rest." So you had the memorials that were there. And it's likely that Pentecost itself was a memorial of the time of the giving of the arrival of the Jews at Mount Sinai whenever the law was given. And so you have the counterpart in the New Testament, where in the New Testament you have the beginning of Christianity. Like in the Old Testament, Pentecost was the time whenever the law was given, the Old Testament law. Pentecost in the New Testament became a time. There were other Jewish feast days. There's a feast that's mentioned in the New Testament, not mentioned in the Old Testament, called the Feast of Lights. That was memorial to some things that happened about 200 years before the coming of Christ. And so there was a feast to commemorate that particular thing. Christianity has built within it memorials. We've just observed the Lord's Supper as a memorial time. And the Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It has built within it. Christianity has a time when we as one body come together and we drink of the one cup and eat the one bread and we're mindful of the death of Christ. And Jeff, I thought especially the reading of Psalms 22 was so touching this morning to see the very emotions of Jesus while He was there on the cross when He had cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And the Lord says, "You do show the Lord's death." And it's not, by the way, a proclamation of the resurrection. Sometimes as important as the resurrection is, we tend to take this feast and talk about the resurrection of Christ. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to remember His death and to show forth His death until He come. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that. Now, obviously Christianity has no meaning without the resurrection. Baptism has no meaning without the resurrection. Praising Jesus in song has no meaning without the resurrection. But the design of this feast is to cause us to go back and to remember what happened there. To be in Gethsemane and to see Him as He stands, as He's crucified before that mob, and all of the emotions that He felt. And we see in that a remembrance of all that He has done for us. Christianity has that built within it. And the very design of the Lord's Supper, by the way, is to strengthen us. We'll notice a little bit later in this lesson that if we forget that we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus, there are some tragic things that will happen to us spiritually. And you and I need to understand that. But I hope that as an individual Christian, that you have in your life those things that will help you because of experiences that happen in your life, and things will remind you of these things. I think particularly of what Laban said to Jacob. Laban had been around Jacob for all of those years. And Laban says, I have learned by just watching what's happening in your life that God is in your life. Now, if an immoral man like Laban can look at the righteous man like Jacob and say, I can look in your life and I see God in your life, then surely we as Christians ought to be able to do that very same thing. Now, we'll not be able to mention specific incidents, but even Paul himself said to Philemon about Onesimus, perhaps this runaway slave has run away in order that he might be your brother in Christ. Now you look at and think about that the rest of his life. Think about every time that Onesimus is serving as a slave. Think about every time that Philemon looks at this slave above every other slave, and built within him is a perhaps that God made this very thing happen in his life. You see, with a direct revelation, we could say like Joseph did to his brothers, God sent me before you. But apart from a direct revelation where God said, I did that in your life, our life is even more exciting when we say, perhaps it happened this way. It's like Mordecai said to Esther, whenever she's on the throne and she's in a position to save the entire Jewish nation, instead of saying, God put you on the throne, he says, perhaps you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'd encourage you in your life to look back into your life and say, perhaps God was there. And how could this have turned out any other way if God had not been a part of it? And that things will happen in your life. And you'll say, that's the very thing I prayed about. And I know because I prayed it that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And every time I see this, I'm reminded of the goodness of God. You and I need to have memorials in our own lives. But you see, there is that problem that we have if we forget. And there are the consequences of not remembering. And I'm not talking about the consequences of America and the lack of respect we have for those who've served before. But I'm talking about the consequences of forgetting in our own spiritual life. If I say the word Christian graces, do you know where they're found? Do you know what they are? I'd encourage every Christian to at least memorize to the ability to paraphrase 2 Peter chapter 1 that says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control or temperance, and all of these other attributes, because the Bible says, if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you so that you will not be barren and unfruitful. And then Peter tells us what happens. That the man who does not add these things is nearsighted and he has forgotten that he was redeemed from his sins. The power for us to add faith to our faith, virtue and knowledge and self-control, comes from remembering the price that was paid for our redemption. And if we forget to add these things to our lives, if we forget to for what the price is paid for our redemption, then we'll not be adding these things to our lives. And so the opposite of all of that. There will not be brotherly kindness. There will not be this matter of love. There will not be virtue, and there will not be self-control. Why? Because I've forgotten the price that was paid for my redemption, and the price is too great, and therefore I must glorify Him in the things that I do. Now, having said that, I want us to illustrate from a biblical church called Ephesus of how easy it is for us to be at a place of spirituality and then lose our spirituality. And those of us who are here this day need as Christians to recognize how easy it will be for us to drift away. The Hebrew writer says, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things that we've learned, lest at any time we drift away from them. Paul says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You and I can drift away from these things. And an illustration of that is the church at Ephesus. What do you know about that church at Ephesus? Well, it was a great, great church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the Lord describes that church and he says, let me tell you, I know about this great church that's there. I know the works that you have done. As he says in all of the letters to the churches, I know what's going on. And then look at the commendation. Look at every good thing that could be said about that church there. I know your works, your labor. I know your patience. I know you cannot bear those who are evil. I know you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not and have found them liars. You have persevered. You have patience. You've labored in my name's sake. And you have not become weary. Now you look at all of the good things that could say about, you know why this is such a great church? You know who started this church? Acts chapter 19 tells of the beginning of the church there. Whenever Paul arrives, or evidently the beginning of the church there, when Paul arrives and baptizes those 12 men that are there. And that church grows and flourishes there because Paul was later to come back and to spend 3 years. Paul preached longer in Ephesus than in any other place. And the church was built up and was edified. 1 and 2 Timothy were written to Timothy, who in one of those books is identified as living there in Ephesus. Here is one of the really, really great churches. In fact, whenever Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that bonds and afflictions await him, he stops and he meets with those elders at Ephesus and has such a special affinity to them and commends them and encourages them to be faithful and to watch out. If you were going to pick out a great church, what greater church could you pick out than the church who in the very beginning of the church turned the city upside down that was devoted to the worship of Diana and books of magic that were being used in pagan worship were burned in a big bonfire there. 50,000 pieces of silver was the worth of all of those books that were there. And that great church was there. What a great church! But you look what happened. Look at verse 4 of Revelation chapter 2 when he says, nevertheless, there's something that has happened at Ephesus. And you and I need to recognize if it can happen at Ephesus, it can happen at Palm Beach Lakes, and it can happen to individuals sitting in this auditorium, whether it happens to the whole church or not. And that is, we have left, as he describes in the rest of verse 4, you have left your first love. Now, I want you to think about what first love is all about. The best illustration I know it was given by a man many years ago nearly 40 years ago. Such a powerful illustration. I've used it here, but I think it's one of the clearest illustrations that it means to be, what it means to... See, these people have not left the Lord. It's not that the church in Ephesus is no longer the Lord's church there. The Lord is still in their midst. He's still walking among, in the midst of that church. But he says, you know what's happened there? The thing that I have against you is that you have left your first love. Well, how do you illustrate that? Well, R.T. Rivers, a dear friend of mine from years past, was talking about this verse when he said, on our honeymoon, said, Carlene and I were out walking one night. And I looked over her, it was a bit cool, and I said, honey, are you cold? Are you cool? He said, I took my coat off and I put it around her. And he says, look, I want to take care of you. He said, honey, here, I don't want you to be out here. I'll suffer for you. You wear my coat. He said, I put my arm around her and I gave her all the attention imaginable. He said, you know, I still love Carlene. Well, we've been married all these years, and if we were out walking somewhere tonight and I looked over there on a cool evening and she didn't have a jacket, I'd say, woman, what's the matter with you? Didn't you watch the weather forecast? Why didn't you use your brain and bring your coat like I did? And I kept my coat on. Now, folks, that's what can happen to us. It's so easy for us to forget about the kind of love that we had for the Lord at the beginning. And the whole purpose of this lesson is to arrive here at this point, to help us understand the place of memorials and the fact we must remember these things. And if we forget them, then the very design of the memorial will be lost. And if we forget the price paid for our redemption, then we'll not grow spiritually. And so in the next few minutes, I want to remind you of what your first love was like when you first became a Christian. How long have you been a Christian? You've been a Christian 3 years? You've been a Christian 5 years? You've been a Christian, 25 years? 40 years? You see, the danger that... in our lives is the danger that happened here in Ephesus. And that is that tenderness and that relationship that we had to Jesus when we became Christians, we can forget about it. And it's not that we'll leave the Lord. It's not that we'll leave the church. But we won't have that first love. And the Lord says, I'm going to hold this against you. I have this against you. Now, his remedy is found in verse 5 whenever he says, remember, therefore, from whence you're fallen. And then he says, and do the first works. Now, that does not mean that they need to go back and be baptized again. But it does mean that that first love that they had must characterize the works that they're doing now like it did when they did these works at the first. I want to mention some 5 or 6 things to encourage every one of us to think about where we are spiritually. I want us to renew ourselves by the memories that we have of what it used to be like. For example, do you remember the day that you were saved? I want you in your mind to go back to that time when you first became a child of God. I want you to remember the events that surrounded that time. I want you to remember what it was like when you stood in that water to be immersed. I want you to remember, if you can, where your thoughts were. I want you to remember the promises that you made to the God of heaven that very day. Because, see, it's so easy to forget those promises. It's so easy for us to forget the joy that we had at that salvation. And it's such a commonplace in our life that we can quote those verses now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, or, you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And we never think about what those words meant to us when we became children of God. That's my eternal soul that's being saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Before I became a child of God, I was headed for hell, and now I'm going to go to heaven, and it's the happiest day of my life. Do you remember that? Then will you not let that remembrance of that rekindle the love that you had when you first began? Because it's so easy. If we forget, it's so easy for us to lose that first love. Do you remember the first time you had the Lord's Supper? I grew up in the church, and I can remember as a child not having any idea at all what the Lord's Supper was about. I can remember learning it, what it was about, but learning that I, since I had not been baptized, that the Lord's Supper was not for me. Sometimes there are parents who think, well, I'll just give the Lord's Supper to my little 3 or 4 or 5 year old child. Let me tell you, that 3 or 4 or 5 year old child will look at that as a mid-morning snack. And they don't understand what it's all about. But I remember growing up in the church and seeing the reverence there was across the entire assembly, where everybody was really, really involved in the bread and in the fruit of the vine. And I knew, even before I was baptized, that the bread was for His body and the fruit of the vine was for His blood. But I had not experienced salvation and known what it means to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And I can remember the very first time I ever had a sup of the Lord's Supper. I remember the first time. Now, you may not be able to have that remembrance, but I hope that you do. Or I hope that in your own mind you can go back and think about how blessed I was at that time. I've got a far deeper appreciation now for it than I did then. But I remember the joy that I had. And that in and of itself brings strength. You remember in your first love the passion that you had to teach others the gospel? I want you to think about when you became a child of God. You came out of that baptistry and you could hardly wait. Show me a sinner. I'm going to find somebody to teach. I'm going to call my relatives. I'm going to talk to folks at work. I am really, really, really going to be on fire for the Lord. And for the first little while, you perhaps were. And there you were, and you had your Bible out, and you were underlining verses, and you were making notes in your Bible so you'd be able to teach others these things. And there was a burning desire that you had within you to teach others. Folks, that's the first love. That's the thing that's why Paul says to the church, or why John says to the church in Revelation, do your first work. Go back and do it like you used to be. Go back and rekindle that joy and say, I'm going to have the fire within me that saw a lost world, and I'm going to do whatever I can to try to cause individuals to obey the gospel. Do you remember the commitment that you made to others? You remember when you first became a child of God and you were going out of your way to make sure your brothers and sisters were taken care of. It might have been at that time in your life that you were the most diligent in visiting those who were sick in the hospital. It might have been at that time in your life whenever you were there to serve and you found a great, great joy in serving at the Lord's table. I tell you, I cannot for the life of me understand why somebody like Mike Ellis has trouble getting folks to serve at the table. Folks, what greater honor is there than to be a part of sharing and being a part of the very death of Jesus at the most important part of our worship? You remember the first time you did it? Every time you walk up here to serve, you need to serve with that kind of an attitude. You remember the first time you read scriptures in the assembly. You remember the first time you led a prayer. You remember the first time you served as a greeter. You remember the first time you did these things where you were serving others. The whole concept of memories is to cause us to go back and to say, that's the way I'm going to be right now. I'm going to go back and be just as diligent then as I was in the beginning. Now, I don't want to leave the ladies out of this by any means, because the Bible restricts their public participation in worship. But what an unbelievable place our ladies in this church serve. I have no idea who made the communion bread this morning. But I want to thank you on behalf of this church for instead of the kind of store-bought, matzo bread that we could have bought and that sometimes we do use, but I want to thank you for the loving effort that you put forth in preparing the communion bread. What greater honor would there be than to be those who prepared the Lord's Supper? If Jesus were coming to your house and you were there to prepare the meal for Him, would you find it an honor? Would you find it a chore? Well, Jesus is coming. Oh, I guess I'll have to fix something. No, it's not fix something. I am honored this day because I've been the one who has made the bread. I'm not sure who filled the cups this morning. But I am so thankful for the kind of heart that says, I'm going to serve others, and here's a way that I can serve and do it so very, very well. That's the first love that I had the first time I did it. I was so honored, and I want to do it with that same attitude again and again. And on we could go and talk about the commitment to others. Two other points. The release of your guilt. Do you remember when you walked out of the baptistry, the purity that you felt in your life with no sins on you whatsoever? As a child, before I became a child of God, I used to think, the best thing that could happen to me with the struggle for righteousness that I've had throughout all of my life would be to be hit by lightning as I come out of the baptistry, you know? Just that purity that is there. But you see, that purity is ours because as children of God, every time we say forgive, as His children we pray, our Father, forgive us our trespasses, we're that clean again. We're washed again in the blood of Jesus, cleansed again. But we can pray that prayer so often and we think, well, God forgive us for any wrong that we've ever done. And we've lost the joy that we had when we became children of God. And it's that joy that we need to have. That's our first love. And you and I need to do everything we can to kindle that. Then finally, do you remember, using figurative language, the walks you had with Jesus? Do you remember when you first became a Christian? You remember those times whenever you felt so close to the Lord that He was just right there beside you? You remember how it was in those early times when you'd just be out and you'd find yourself just almost unconsciously thinking about God and thinking about the heavenly things? Walks with Jesus. You and I, it makes no difference how long we've been a Christian. We need to still have those same walks with the Lord, or else we will not grow like we need to grow spiritually. Memorial Day, yes, but Christianity has built within it memorials in our past experience that perhaps God has placed there in order that we might have the very strength as we remember what it used to be like. And I'm sure that R.T. loves Carlene enough that he'd take his coat off and give it to her in a heartbeat. It's not that he loves her less, it's just that he loves her different. But I'll guarantee you what Carlene loves, and that is she loved that kind of love whenever he took the coat off and gave it to her. Now think about that in relationship. I know you still love the Lord. I know where this church is, that it stands for that which is right. It's not a shame to stand up and stand against that which is wrong. It's like the church at Ephesus. I know your works. I know your labors. I know that you've tried those who've said they're apostles and you've found them false. And I know that you've been steadfast and I know that you've been persevering. You and I need to understand there's another level. And that level is where we get back and we say, it's going to be like it was in the beginning. And so in all of these things, the joy of salvation, the Lord's Supper, evangelism, commitment to others, and the release of guilt and walking with the Lord, I'm going to remember what it was like when I first did that, and I'm going to relive that kind of an experience. Are you as close to the Lord as you ought to be? Well, there's not a one of us but needs this lesson. But it may be this day could be a memorial day for you. I remember June the 1st because that was the day I was baptized. It's my memorial day. And there's never a June the 1st, which is 2 days away. There's never a June the 1st that I do not remember what happened when I became a child of God. And you could make that your very day, your very memorial day. This is the day I became a child of God. I believed in Him, for that's what John 3:16 says I needed to do. And I made up my mind. I made a decision to follow the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. When I confess faith in Jesus, then I can be baptized. You can do that this very day. Have you been baptized? Do you know that Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? Have you done that? Then why would you not decide today to do that very thing and let Him add you to the church, forgive you of your sins, walk out of that baptistry cleansed as a newborn baby with no guilt of any wrong you've ever done in your life? Why wouldn't you do that? And then the Lord says to the rest of us, all of those who've done that, now you stay full of faith. Be full of faith until you die. And I promise you, I will give you the crown of life. Are you prepared to meet God? If you're not, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?